Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we take a look at the first reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Again, this is Paul. Paul speaking to the Colossians, just as we read yesterday. This time, he says, "Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." What does he mean, "for you have died"? It means you have died to the world, to the flesh, to the promptings of the devil. You're willing to say no to those things, and you want to be a true disciple of Christ and follow him. You can't do that on your own willpower. That takes the grace of God. So when Paul says, "you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God," and when Christ, your life, appears, you too will appear with him in glory. Do you believe that? Do you believe that heaven is real? Do you believe that God is waiting for us? Do you believe that he loves you with his whole heart? God can do that. He loves you. He would give you anything that will lead you into union with him. Is your life hidden with Christ in God? In other words, are you united to Christ so deeply that that's your priority? You truly are a Christian. Not in name, not by label, but by thought, by word, by deed. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with him in glory. What must that moment be like when you see him face to face, when you actually see the source of all love looking at you and you're looking at him? Do you know that's true? That's a reality. That's not a fairy tale. That's not just a nice pious image. It's the reality of what awaits those who are willing to follow him and to say yes to him and to his ways. Not because he wants to give us a hard life, but because he wants to lead us into union with him. That's what we all hunger for, is love. And it's Jesus who says, "come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. Come to me." We go everywhere else first. God is our last resort. That's not the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way God wanted it to be. It's because we choose to listen to the voice of the world more than we listen to the voice of God. So the question is, what decisions are you going to make, or at least one decision that you're going to make that gives God more active access to you? God will never force himself on you. It's always your free will. When are you going to give God, and how are you going to give God more access to hear his voice, to listen to his teaching, to follow him? Please really look at this. Look at your life. What decisions do you need to make? Paul says, "put to death then the parts of you that are earthly." Okay? Here are the things we have to deal with: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. In other words, we can make an idol out of things that will only last for a time. Money, success, power, all those kinds of things. The greed that is idolatry. I want it. I want it so much that I blot out everything else that I should want. "Put to death then the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry." It means you're putting yourself and those things that you want in first place, rather than God, others, and then you. "Because of these, the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient. By these you too once conducted yourselves when you lived in that way. But now you must put them all away: anger, fury, malice, slander, obscene language out of your mouths. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free. Christ is all in all. No matter what worldly labels we put on ourselves or on one another, Christ is all in all. That's what he desires. He's present. We were created by the Father. We were saved by the Redeemer. We're empowered and given wisdom and understanding and counsel and strength and fortitude and knowledge by the Holy Spirit. Why would we give in to things that are so much less important? Why would we, in a certain sense, actually even sell our birthright? Drugs, alcohol, sex, power, envy, greed, whatever. We sell ourselves when we're made for so much more. So what I would like to say to each of you is take those verses from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, and look at yourself and say, what's the guiding force in my life apart from God? Even if you ignore God, God is still the driving force in your life. But what are the things of this world that grab you, that captivate you, that pull you away from faith in God? Think about it. Jot them down. Ask yourself, what should I do about this? And then say to the Lord, send your spirit, Lord, give me wisdom. And just keep praying that way every day. And believe me, God will answer it. Psalm 145, the Lord is compassionate toward all his works. Every day will I bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord. Let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. That's what we want to do. We want to bless the Lord by loving others, by caring for them, providing them, rescuing them. We want to bring people back to Jesus, making known to men your might and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. For your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. That's who God is. He's over all and in all. And he wants to draw us into active union with him. That's what your life is all about, ultimately. That's what your life is all about, loving him and loving your neighbor. It really is. There are many other things in life, but these are the two top priorities, and whatever else you do in life should make it possible that those two priorities, love of God and love of neighbor, are very, very active in your life. If they're not, you're more easily picked off by the world. So pay heed, please. Don't be afraid to take an inventory. It would be impossible to change by yourself, but that's not your situation. You have a Savior and you have a Father. And even though you can't put your hands on them and hold them, God is real and God is right here. God is nearer than your very breath to you right now. Will you put your trust in him? And the gospel today is the gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 to 26. Raising his eyes toward his disciples, Jesus said, "Blessed are you who are poor." That doesn't mean that you're destitute, but you're poor. You're stripped of the world's values. The world wouldn't pay much attention to you. Or you're actually materially poor. He said, you're blessed because it can open you to the one riches you want, the one rich above all riches you want, which is union with God. In a certain sense, God has to allow us all to become very poor, maybe not materially and externally, but perhaps in our own minds, in our own souls. We have to be stripped a bit so we see that we're not all sufficient. I'm not, you're not. We're just not all sufficient. We need him. Not just for this little thing or that little thing, but we need him at the very heart of our lives, the very core of our being. Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. In other words, I will give you my kingdom. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. And that's not just for physical food. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. But woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. Jesus is saying that what this earth offers us for our joy or for our happiness just is not going to be able to deliver at all. Oh, we have moments here or there, but a life, a way of life, rejoice and leap for joy. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. God never lies. Your reward, wherever you are listening to this program, your reward in heaven will be great. If we're willing to accept him now as our Lord, if we're willing to follow him, if we're willing to repent when we fail, those are the conditions. They're minor. So minor, they're infinitesimal. Anyway, our values are so small in light of what God has for us and what God wants to give us. Do you believe that? Are you willing to open your heart? Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, you're satisfied, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now. You mock, you ridicule, you take your pleasures and things that take you away from God. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. And woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way. Maybe some people speak well of you. Do they for the right reasons or not? Brothers and sisters, I really urge you, take a look at your own life. Be honest, that God may enter more fully into your life. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.